Good morning again, my friends. This is David Stahl from Beholding His Glory, and yes, you are listening to Pebbles of Truth on WJCB Radio. Now, last week we started a brand new teaching series, and that is, What is the Anointing? Now, I like that word anointing, but you know, we throw this word around, the word anointing, around like buckets of puppies or candy or rainbows. And people think they have some kind of special touch from God in their lives, but they are deceived. They have been lied to, mainly for manipulation or control. Now they believe someone has passed on the anointing, that's in quotation, of God to them to do work or minister in God. But this is a lie. They have been seduced, and again, usually that's for money or for control. Last week we saw that Christ is the one and only anointing. Let me say that again. We saw last week that Christ is the one and only anointing, because Christ is the anointed one. Boy, I like that. Christ is the anointed one. Christ is our anointing. Wow. We cannot pass on Christ to someone. Oh no. We cannot save someone, though we think we can. We have no power or authority to impart what God gives to us to any other person. What foolishness that you see in the church today. Wow, I just can't believe it. I cannot believe how millions of people believe if they sow money or if they give money to a ministry or partner with a ministry, they will receive, as promised by the ministry, a special anointing from that ministry. Well, what a bold-faced lie. There is no such thing as imparted anointing. Let me say that again. There is no such thing as an imparted anointing. Yet millions of people, like sheep being fleeced, give their last penny for the anointing. That's in quotations again. Well, this is nothing more than greed, giving to get on their part. Now, knowing they will give, they will give because they are greedy and they are blind. And they know that, and they do not know that they have not received nothing. They receive nothing. And why? Because they can't, because Christ is our anointing, because Christ is the anointed one. Now, take heed to your heart and to your wallet, my friend. Wake up, shake yourself, and keep away from such deception and seduction before it is too late. My friend, Christ in each individual believer through the Holy Spirit is the anointing. Let me say that again. Christ in each believer, individual believer through the Holy Spirit is our anointing. In the final analysis, there is only one way to come up under the fullness of the anointing, and that is to come under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Not just get saved, which is a good start, but when we come under the Lordship of Christ, we make Christ our Lord, our Master, the one and only Lord and ruler of our lives. You know, very few Christians have allowed Christ to become Master and Commander of their lives. Oh, their sins may be forgiven, and that's not my call, but that's God's. But to allow Christ full reign and sway in our lives, now, that is a different question altogether, and for some Christians, that may just be a bridge too far. But indeed, that is the purpose of the Holy Spirit, to make Jesus Lord of each of us. Let me say that again. But that is the purpose of the Holy Spirit in our life, and that is to make Jesus Lord of each and every one of us. Not just a good idea or a hope and a dream, but in our day-to-day practice as we live out our daily living. So we have this, my friend. The anointing is Christ in us through the Holy Spirit. And each believer, therefore, has this anointing if Christ is in them. However, if we truly come up under the fullness of this anointing, as we must come under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And we must now, please hear me very well, be subject to the Holy Spirit. That's right. Wow. We must be subject to the Holy Spirit. Now, this will really be tough, I'll be honest, for the millions of Christians who do not believe in the Holy Spirit. So the question is, do you think you have this special anointing, that's in quotations, from God to work or minister for Him? Or have you recognized that the purpose of the Holy Spirit in us is to make Jesus our Lord and thus form us together with Him as a witness unto God? Have we realized that when Jesus ascended to heaven and was seated as Lord of all, that He sent His Spirit, the precious Holy Spirit, to bring all things, all, and the Bible says all, it means all things under the Lordship of Christ. Now, please pay attention here, and please open up your spirit. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Acts did not usher in signs and wonders. Oh no, there were plenty of signs and wonders before Acts 2. All throughout the Old Testament, we've seen signs and wonders. But the outpouring of the Spirit in Acts 2 ushered in Christ is Lord, not just to us, but Christ is Lord in us. Wow. What happened in Acts 2 had never happened before. On that day began the new birth, Christ in us, hope of glory. No one has ever been born again before. On that day, began the indwelling of Jesus Christ in us through the Spirit. On that day began the outworking of not a new covenant, because God did something more wonderful than establish a new covenant, but He established a holy relationship with man based on the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Wow. After all, the old covenant, that God made with the Jewish people is still in effect and will be fulfilled completely into the future. On that day, God's mercy was added to the equation, and within 10 to 15 years, Paul's revelation of being saved by grace through faith, Ephesians 2 and 8, becomes the standard for all of mankind to be saved. Even that's the standard today. We are saved by grace through faith. Most Christians do not understand that these things happened in Acts 2. Some think that the disciples were born again before Acts 2, and the church started on that day. Oh no, this is false, my friend. Or that they had Christ in them before that day. No, they didn't. Some Christians think that God simply gave the disciples power to serve in Acts 2, to be that witness, and that this was a second experience or a second blessing. But no, my friend, there is no such thing as a second experience or a second blessing. When we receive Christ, we are complete. We are complete. And everything is found in Him. And so if everything in Him, and if Christ is in us, then we have everything that is in Christ. Right now, there are millions of Christians who believe Christ in us is one experience, and I would call them believers, and that the receiving of the Holy Spirit in the sense of an overflow is another experience. But this is based often on an experience and not the truth. The Bible teaches nothing, let me say this again, the Bible teaches nothing of a second blessing. To get the truth straight about the anointing, we must briefly see this. And a key to understanding what really happened in Acts 2. Now, let me say, I am filled with the Holy Spirit. I speak in tongues. I operate in at least three gifts of the Spirit. So I am not discounting the work of the Holy Spirit or even signs and wonders. But I am discounting the doctrinal manipulation and control of the Pentecostals and Charismatics. Wow, their doctrine and belief of a second blessing. I am. As mentioned in Acts 2, the Holy Spirit came for the first time to dwell in people. Once we realize that, we will see that this means Acts 2 began not the church, but the new birth. For we are born again only through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Thus, in the Old Testament times, the Holy Spirit dwelt in no one. No one was born again in the Old Testament. Now, this is not maybe, but this is a fact. Jesus said to his disciples in John 14, 16 through 18, I will pray, that word pray there is beseech the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever and ever, and the Spirit of truth, when the world cannot receive, because it sees or understands him not, neither knows him, but ye know him, for he dwells within you and shall be in you. Did you get that? For he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. John 14, 16 through 18. Wow, wonderful verse. We see a number of things in this passage. First, until Acts 2, then Jesus was promising the coming of the Comforter. The Holy Spirit had only been with people. The Holy Spirit had never been in people. Furthermore, note that the Spirit in them equals Christ in them. After promising the Comforter would come, Jesus says, I will come to you. This is the same event, not a separate event or a second experience. Christ is in us by the Holy Spirit. Now, just to nail that down, we need to only read one verse from Romans and one from John that we will do next week. So for homework, please take some time, some quality time out in your busy schedule and study, that's right, I said study, Romans 8, 9 through 11, Romans 8, 9 through 11, and John 14, 23. Next week we will tackle these verses and see that Christ in us is exactly the same as the Spirit of God in us and the Spirit of Christ in us. And we will see that Jesus even states that the Father will indwell us as well. Amen. But this should not be a surprise, since the Trinity is one. This has been David Stahl from Beholding His Glory, trusting the Word of God has touched your heart and opened up your spirit to the truths of the Word of God. Amen.